Hey, this is Texas country musician Bree Bagwell inviting you to check out my podcast, Only Vans. Listen, love it, and subscribe now on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts. It's where I come to you from my backyard in my van. Well, actually, we upgraded to an RV, but it still has the front end of a van, so it still counts. So basically, I get all my friends and we sit right here with my dog. This is Whiskey. And we talk about important things like feet pictures, getting told you look tired, dating in the music scene. Listen, love it, and subscribe now on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, happy hour listeners. Are you ready for summer festival season? Elevate your festival look with Sunhye Shades. Whether you're dancing to your favorite bands or kicking back to soak up some rays, Sunhye sunglasses are your sidekick for any adventure. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your order using code HAPPYHOUR. Get your new go-to faves today at sunheist.com. That's SUNHEIST.com.
You're like the Oprah of bluegrass. Bear with me, because I'm just here to play music, okay? And every time I delve into one of these answers, I feel like I'm going to cry. But honestly, I think I'm here to give. And I struggle with that all the time, you know?
What part do you struggle with?
Well, what if I don't have enough to give? What if what I'm giving is not good enough? And I'm giving what I can, but it's not good enough.
Welcome to the Travis Book Happy Hour Podcast. I'm Travis Book. This episode is brought to you by Thompson Guitars, makers of fine instruments handmade with love in Sisters, Oregon. The podcast is presented by Americana Vibes and the Bluegrass Situation, and our show is part of the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. You can dive into all things roots music anytime at thebluegrasssituation.com. When I asked Mike Ashworth's bandmates and friends to give me a sentence describing him, it was almost comical how similar they were. Two of them were literally identical, describing him as the most natural, gifted, and versatile musician I've ever known. One even said, when God made the perfect musician, he made Mike Ashworth. Enormously talented and versatile, but also humble, joyous, and a wonderful listener. I call Mike whenever I can to join me on the Happy Hour or Travis Book and Friends, and he was my bass player of choice for my record. He laid his heart out for us in this interview, and my only regret is that it took me so long to get this episode out. This episode was recorded live at the Great Eagle in Asheville, North Carolina on February 3rd, 2021.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for being here tonight. Thanks for tuning in out there on the internet. Thanks for being patient. Steve McMurray was supposed to be our guest, but as we do, we adapt and we improvise. He wasn't able to make it. He's fine, but he'll be back May 19th. But I've got a great guest tonight. I've got Mike Ashworth here, and I've also got my man, John Stickley, playing with us. So, fellas... Shall we kick it off?
Oh, yeah.
Play a little tune.
Come and listen in to the radio station. Listen to the hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory shed. Heaven's glory shed. Turn your lights down low.
Turn your lights down low.
Listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Listen in to the Glory Land Chorus. Listen to the glad hosannas roll. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. Some eternal morning we shall meet them over on the Hallelujah Show. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory shared, glory shared. Turn your lights down low. Listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Songs of the fathers and the mothers and the many friends gone on before. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. Some eternal morning we shall meet them over on the Hallelujah Shore. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
And listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory shared. Heaven's glory shared. Turn your lights down low.
Turn your lights down low.
Listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Awesome. Hey, Turn Your Radio On. That song was written by Alfred Brumley. But Alfred Brumley also wrote I'll Fly Away and the song Rank Stranger. And if you've heard these songs, you know that these are special. They're the kind of songs that are part of the music in the air, timeless words and melodies. Brumley primarily trafficked in gospel music, and I'd venture to speculate that he'd acknowledge God's hand in his work. So as I'm wont to do with spiritual material like this, I thought I'd take a shot at a more expansive interpretation of what God might have intended when he helped Mr. Brumley bring this song into form. So turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on, heaven's glory shared. Turn your lights down low, listen to the master's radio. Get in touch with God, turn your radio on. He could be saying, tune in, turn your radio on, and know that the divine music is everywhere and in everything. And then once you're experiencing that as your reality, once you're experiencing that unit of nature of everything, then you turn your radio on and you become an expression of that love. You transmit it outward, right? You become an expression of that love and unity with the divine in all that you do. That's the part of the heaven's glory shared, right? You turn your radio on, you broadcast it out. And then turn your lights down low, which, of course, means to quiet down, to pray or meditate, be still, or just simply stop and listen. Listen to what the Quakers call the still small voice within, or what some people think of as like universal frequencies, the voice of God, the master's radio. So if you want to get in touch with truth and love, you have to turn your radio on. I'm gonna tune. It was in tune when I bought it. Faith is gone. Can't
find your way home. I will lead you home. You've been asking for the reasons why, denying what you feel inside. I'm all right, nothing's wrong. It's a never-ending song. It goes on and on and on and on. Faith is gone.
Thank you. I'm so glad that there's a studio audience this week, so it doesn't feel like I'm playing inside of a closet. Hope everyone's doing well out there. There's a few things I wanted to make sure you remember. The show is entirely donation-driven, so at any time you can contribute or tip the musicians, Venmo at Travis Book or paypal.me/TravisBook1. I also... I just want you to know that I really appreciate your support. This is a labor of love, and I'm so glad that I've got Mike Ashworth on the show, because he was really enthusiastic when I asked him to be a part of it, and he's really perfect for all of this, and he's such a great musician. But I digress. I think that that song I just played, I Will Lead You Home, is about surrender. And I talked a lot about faith last time, a couple weeks ago. And I think for faith, for many of us, faith is something that comes... and it goes, and we more often say we've lost our faith than we say that we found it. And so it occurred to me that perhaps before your faith can be restored, you have to surrender. You have to accept that you can't know, that you will not know, and that you have to be at peace with that. Like Ram Dass says, it's like it's none of your business anyway. You have to accept that faith makes no sense, and that it has to come from the heart, not the head, and that it's something that you must also fall, you sort of fall back into it, rather than something that you attain. You surrender, and then you remember. I was sitting around the table this morning with Burl, because Burl's still around. And my mom comes in. My mom's here in the audience tonight. I hope it's okay I'm telling the story, Mom. My mom comes in, and she's exasperated. She says, I thought today was going to be different. I thought I'd wake up, and there wouldn't be something I had to deal with. She goes on to explain her current predicament, which is admittedly a pain in the ass and a bit of a hassle. So I do hear that. But, you know, I'm a bit of a rascal, so I ask her, I go, do you know when it's going to end? And she kind of looks at me, and I go, when you die. I told her, I said, when you wake up tomorrow, things are going to happen, and your experience is entirely up to you. It just keeps happening. The phenomenon keeps coming. What changes is your perspective. It's sort of like when you learn to ride a bike, people will tell you, it's like, it doesn't get any easier, you just go faster. It's sort of the same thing. These are really, really, really dark days for some of you, but for others, these are the best days of their lives. And most of us fall somewhere in between. Of course, we all have our own circumstances, some seemingly better than others, but we also have the freedom to write the world the way that we want it to read. Not to manufacture our own truth, but to take responsibility for the way that we perceive our experiences. Everywhere you look, you see what you're looking for. And if you're looking for God, you see God. If you're looking for the divine, you'll see it in every moment and every phenomena. And it will all start to become less definable as good and bad. Your experiences start to soften around the edges, and you develop the superpower, the ability to transform your experience, to see the beauty in the ugliest days. Mike, would you join me? This is a song I've been playing for the last year a lot. I think I played it on this show. It's by Jonah Tolchin. Once again, we tune because you care. All right. Have courage in your heart. Ride with the wave. It's up to you to see the beauty in the ugly yesterday. Have patience, my brother. Live in the moment, my sister. We're all on trial to see the beauty in the ugly yesterday. When I fall, I know you'll be there. And when I call, I don't have to be scared, 'cause you call me now. You call me back then. You taught me to see the beauty in the ugly yesterday. Thank you. I love that song. All right, we will take a short break for our sponsors, and we will be right back with more from the Travis Book Happy Hour.
The Travis Book Happy Hour is brought to you by Americana Vibes, presenting the new record, Trance Banjo, by the infamous string dusters Chris Pandolfi. Trance Banjo delivers a unique combination of modern melodic banjo compositions, along with lush symphonic vinyl samples, beats, futuristic software instruments, strings, analog synths, and more. Chris produced, performed, engineered, and mixed all of the music over the last 3 years at his studio in Denver, Colorado. Look for Trance Banjo on Americana Vibes, February 12th, wherever your music is found. Happy Hour shirts and hats, sporting the Happy Hour logo and the motto, "It's okay to be happy," available now at thetravisbookhappyhour.com. View this and every Happy Hour episode anytime at thetravisbookhappyhour.com. And once again, your host, Travis Book.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. And thank you, Mike. Pulling double duty tonight, both the house band and the featured guest. Mike, thanks so much for being here. You want to get comfortable, make yourself at home?
You got a sofa?
No, but I have been thinking about getting a couple of chairs and some plants and setting it up a little bit like Zach Galifianakis in between two ferns.
That's a great idea.
But, you know, you saw what it was like around here. We were scrambling to get going. So, you know, when I've got a little extra time, maybe
it's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, probably. So, Mike, 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
you were here, and when I walked off stage, you said, "I get it. I get what you're doing here."
Yeah.
And that was when that confirmed what I'd suspected all along, which was that...
I was a robber.
Well, no. That there was a place for you here, and that I needed your help. I needed your help making this thing up.
I don't think you need anybody's help because you shine like a lighthouse. But I do think I know what you're after.
I think you can smell what I'm stepping in here.
Yeah.
So tonight we have to improvise. You were already on the gig. You were going to be joining me and helping back up Steve McMurray.
One of my heroes, yeah.
One of our heroes. Fortunately, that show is just merely postponed. And so, you know, you were already going to be here doing what you do best, making other people sound good, and it occurred to me that here was a chance for the viewers and the listeners. If you're going to be around here on a regular basis, we might as well get to know you.
I'm going to be, and thank you for that.
So to try to create a little, you know, try to give a little musical context, I reached out to some people that knew you.
And I shame on you.
And I asked them, and this is fun. I won't tell you who all these came from, but this is great. These are two, these came from two of your bandmates. I asked some of your bandmates for quotes. These came in 4 minutes apart, and this is what they read. "Mike Ashworth is one of the most naturally gifted and versatile musicians I have ever known." And then, shortly thereafter, "Mike Ashworth is one of the most naturally gifted, versatile, and capable musicians that I have ever known." Which means, you, not only that your bandmates think very highly of you, but they're also very unoriginal because...
Copy and paste.
They wrote the exact same thing. Someone else said, "You're one of the most versatile, talented, and tasteful multi-instrumentalists I've ever had the pleasure of working with." Here's another one. This is great. "Mike is a musician's musician. He can pick up any instrument and make you wish you could play it like that." Isn't that a good one? I know we're embarrassing you. This is a really good one. This is from someone that lives in town. "Michael is the kind of talent you only see once in a generation. Many people can play an instrument well. Very few people can play every instrument exceptionally well." Isn't that nice? Is that true?
No. All of them are lying to you.
None of these things are true. All right.
I don't think so.
Let me just read two more, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
Then I'll stop fluffing you, and we can get back
to
the interview.
You're killing me, though.
These both came from the same person. "When God made the perfect musician, He made Mike Ashworth enormously talented and versatile, but also humble, joyous, and a wonderful listener." This person went on to say, "Getting to play music with Mike is like Christmas." Isn't that amazing? And it's...
Oh, you dog.
So the point I'm trying to make, you know, you make people sound great. And you are a musician that stands alone in your own right, but you are also just the consummate, I don't like the word sideman, but you just use music and you love making people sound good. And it sounds like, you know, and that's the message I get from everybody who plays with you, is that you just make it easier.
Okay. I don't know where to start. You just laid a bunch of stuff on me.
Well, go ahead. I mean, you can't really respond to that because that's just what they're saying about you, whether those things are true or not. It's good for people to know what your contemporaries think.
So, well, it's really sweet, and it's heartwarming. I don't think of myself like that. I don't look at Mike Ashworth as a great musician. I just love to do what I do, and it's hard to, you know, you threw me a curveball right up top, man. I just don't have any legs to stand on. You just knocked me down.
Well, here, I'll give you something more concrete to talk about.
Okay.
So you're a member of the Steeps, the Steep
yeah.
Canyon Rangers.
Yeah,
and that's been going on like for 7-8 years?
I've been in the band for
maybe a little bit more than that now.
8.
Okay.
Yeah.
7-8 years and it's a funny thing because that band has its roots here in Asheville, but also really mm-hmm. in Brevard. And you grew up with the guys, some of the founding members of that band.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only was it kind of cool for you as you charted your path as a musician to sort of end up like as part of sort of the most famous band from your hometown? Is that a weird way of putting it? Is it kind of cool?
I don't know. I don't look at it like that. It's hard to. I'm going to be a bad interview.
No, you're not.
Travis is a great interviewer, but I'm going to be a bad interview because my answer is fame is relative.
Totally.
Fame is relative. Like my kids, you know, and a lot of you may or may not know this, but Travis and I are neighbors. We've known each other for a couple of years, and like one of our biggest connections is just our kids playing together. So my kids, you know, they're like, oh, Dad, you're famous because I fly on planes and play music for a living, and I've been on a TV once or twice, but... It's fame is relative. I'd say, okay, well, let's go to the grocery store.
Right.
And then I'm in the checkout line. And the boys were with me, and they were on one of their rants about Dad's famous. And I said, no, watch this. And this poor cashier, I was like, okay, you have to pardon me. Do you know who I am? The woman's like, what? I said, no, this is for my children. Do you know who I am? And she's like, no. I said, okay, see? Not famous. In my hometown that I have lived in forever, you know, generations, grew up in Brevard, and I'm not famous. But I will say, the Steep Canyon Rangers, we do, coming from, you're right, so I'm going to back up a bit, and me and Mike Gugino, the mandolin player, we had our first band before I even had a license, you know. I was 15,
wow.
He was coming to get me, and then we were going... to play music together, and I knew of Woody because we sang in the boys' choir together. I was like 11, and he was on his way out of that thing. We learned to sing from the same guy, and me and Mike Gugino learned to play music kind of together. And so, yeah, I feel like we represent Brevard, half of us do.
Yeah.
And the rest of the band lives in Asheville, so we just say we're from Asheville.
Of course.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool that you... I mean, I wouldn't say ended up because nothing's done, but that, you know, at this phase in your life, you're a professional touring musician, and you get to do it with these people that you grew up with and that you have this history with and this shared experience, which is really beautiful. Not, you know, that's a lucky thing you got.
It is lucky. And people that I love, you know. I love all of the Rangers. And I think, I don't know that we differ from any other bands, but it is a brotherhood, and you can attest to that, too. It's like a family.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And family comes with their own dynamics, you know? But it's an amazing thing to be able to say that I get to do that. And I think the lesson there, especially for my kids, is like if you have a passion and you couple that passion with a skill or a talent and you focus your energy on that, maybe you can do that too. And it's a struggle all
right.
the way. But it in the end, it says, like, how long did you really want to do it?
Right. Well, and also a big question is also sort of what your motivation is.
Good. You want to get into that?
I mean,
because that's one thing I think is the foundation of what you're doing here.
Well, that's certainly something that's an important question that we have to get to eventually. Would you, Andy? Could you do me a favor and turn my reverb down just a little bit? I feel like I'm in a cathedral, which is kind of awesome.
It's empty though.
Yeah, I mean, you've done a bunch of cool stuff. You played drums on the first Stickley Trio record, which mm-hmm. is just one of my favorite pieces of music. And you know, you're an exceptionally musical person. Were you playing music from the moment you came out of the womb? I mean, were you just banging on stuff right away?
I probably banged on things, but it wasn't musical.
Okay, well, yeah, because
you know, I'm a boy. But I come from a musical family. Yeah, so my father made it understood to me that he played drums, you know, in his teens, and being in a band was cool. And my mother, exceptional pitch. She's a fingerstyle guitar player, and we, when I was like 6, 7, 8 years old, we also had a piano in the home, and we had access to her guitar as well. So I was never cut off from it. And this is, of course, in the mid-80s, so you're getting, like, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have, I mean, we always had food, and the power stayed on, so we weren't broke, but we weren't well-to-do, so, I mean, the TV was fuzzy most of the time, so it was like, you can play the piano, or you can play the guitar, and that's kind of how we started entertaining ourselves. But I remember being in middle school, and I was probably 11. That's when I started playing drums with the mm-hmm. high school band. But my mother had her guitar, which I still have, which Mike Gugino auditioned for college. I learned on it. My brother learned on it. My sister learned on it. My mom had it since high school. Mike got into college in the guitar program on that guitar. Another friend got into college on that guitar. Wow. And so it's kind of it's become like an heirloom. But oh, yeah. We used to pull it out of the case and push each other around the house in the case. That's how important the guitar was to us when we were kids. The guitar went somewhere on the floor or the bed or whatever, and then we just push each other around. And so I'm trying to foster that as well in my house. It's like, that's why I have a storage unit for my instruments.
Right, right.
I have things at home, but the kids can play with. But my point is, we always had access to these things. And so I opened the guitar case up one day, and my mother had some sheet music, but it had chord charts over the top, you know, when to change. Yeah. And there were dots, and it's not even tablature. It was just like the picture of a chord. And I tried to play a C, and she busted me. She's like, you know, and so she tuned it up and put my fingers in the right spot, and I hit it. And that's when it all came together. And I think I was 11 at that point. It was like this light went off. You mean that thing that I hear, I can do that too.
Right. Yeah, that's something I've heard before, is that realization. And for some people, it comes later in life. You know, like for me, it came while I was watching a band when I was in my 20s. You know, I was kind of like, wait a minute. I think I understand what's happening, and I think I can do this too, to some extent. And that's a sort of similar sensation as you have when you make that C chord and you hear that harmony.
Yeah.
And you think, wow. Yeah. You realize you're just pressing down on three notes.
Yeah.
And there's this entire thing. It's like, wow, what's the potential here, right?
Yeah. It's actually daunting.
Yeah, life is daunting.
If you're enjoying the show and Mike's musical contribution, check out episode 14 with Josh Daniel, episode 16 with Nikki Bloom, episode 25 with Jim Lauderdale, and episode 28 with Steve McMurray. Thanks for listening, and after the show, be sure to leave a review. Now back to the show.
You know, we were sort of talking about orientation, and a question I like to ask is you know, why do you think you're here? What's the point? What's your purpose?
What is here? Define here.
Well, not here on this show, but like why?
Okay.
Why
am I on the earth?
Yeah. Why did you incarnate? What's the point for you?
Man, I feel like sometimes I know it fully, right? Sometimes everything comes together and I'm like, this is why I'm here. And when I feel that, there are so many things, there's multiple things that happen. But most of the time, I don't know. But I'll tell you the moments that I know, that it's like synchronicity is the only word I can think of, you know? And I've felt them from certain things. Playing music, of course, playing a great show, or, you know, being in totally in line with the band, or in a session or something. But there's also moments where, like, you're holding your child or something, or a moment with your wife or something, you know? It changes all the time.
Right.
So I don't have an honest question as to why I'm here, but I think I'm here to, like, And this is, we go back to the theme of what I think you're getting about. I think I'm here to give.
Right.
And it's a hard concept for me to understand, you know? Because I feel like you're like the Oprah of bluegrass. Bear with me. Because I'm just here to play music, okay? And every time I delve into one of these answers, I feel like I'm going to cry. But honestly, I think I'm here to give. And I struggle with that all the time, you know?
What part do you struggle with?
Well, what if I don't have enough to give? What if what I'm giving is not good enough? And I'm giving what I can, but it's not good enough. And then, well, what about this, though? Also, like, there are moments where I just can't give anymore.
Oh, well, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And this is a different nut to crack, and we're not going to go off on this tangent, but I feel like after COVID and the pressure's gone, I don't even want to say society or America. I feel like humanity is going to look back and go, what the hell? But I think there's an awakening coming where we can all be perfectly honest with each other. And I'm joining in right now, and I'm just going to tell you, sometimes, man, as an entertainer, you know this, we have to be like poised, we have to have a certain face on, mm-hmm. and we have to be in a certain mood. And what if I'm not there, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel it is my purpose. I do need to give, but what if I can't?
Well, I've run up against that as a parent.
Yeah, that's huge, man.
Like, I know there's sort of a role that I need to play, and there's a way that I need to behave.
Yeah.
I need to keep it together. and sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard, man.
Sometimes I don't know. It's pretty touch and go. You know. Sometimes I wonder, am I going to keep this together, or is this or you know, or am I going to become the person that I've read about? You know, and that largely is sort of a question of yeah, like do you have enough to give? Can you continue to go to that place and to be patient?
I think if we think about it the right way and we put our intention in the right place, then maybe it's a deep well, and that possibly it's going to always be there. You know, that's what I hope, because I run out a lot.
Yeah.
My well, you know, it empties out, but somehow it always comes back. Maybe, yeah. I don't know
what
why
do you,
I'm here.
What do you do to create more, to create that space, to bring it back? What do you do to kind of balance things out?
I guess you have to have those moments where it's empty, you know, yeah. when you've given too much, and then you have to learn, like, where that comes from. And I haven't perfected any of this, but
because
it's an answer I've never had to ask before. Mm-hmm. Answer.
Right.
Is why are you here? But I feel like the well, it comes from this, man. It comes from talking to you. It comes from creating art. It comes from holding your babies and loving your love, you know? I mean, it's, you give it and you get it back, and eventually, hopefully, the well fills up again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, exactly. Yeah, we don't know. You just kind of have to have faith.
There it is.
So this is a little presumptuous.
Okay.
I wrote this question, and then I realized. So the question is, if you could spend a week alone anywhere in the known universe, where would you go?
Well, I haven't traveled the universe. I've only traveled the Earth.
Well, your known universe, then.
My known Yeah, sphere.
If you go anywhere that you know about, where would you go?
That's incredible.
But then I also realized after I wrote the question, the presumption was that you would want to be alone, which to me seems so obvious, right? But for some people, it would be phrased, if you had to spend a week alone.
If I had to.
Anywhere in the world.
If I was forced to be alone.
Where would it be? Yeah, if you had to be alone. For me, it's like, if you could go be alone, where would you go?
Yeah.
For you, it may be if you had to be alone, but if you were going to spend a week alone, where would you go?
I think I'd go back to Kauai, where Carolyn and I went on our honeymoon. It was a long time ago. It was 13 years. She's going to kill me. I think 13.
Why is she going to kill you?
Because I don't know.
Because she still puts up with you after these 13 years?
She hadn't killed me yet.
Because you gave her a fourth son?
Yeah. She gave me a fourth son.
Yeah, right.
She said she would be a Victorian goddess. Because it's all boys. I don't know if people know about this. We're just assuming everybody knows. I have four kids, and they're all boys.
And they're all boy.
All boy.
It's
all
a lot
of
boy.
Yeah, breaking stuff and throwing stuff and, you know, patching It's not even drywall. It's plaster in my house.
Yeah, which plaster is in mine,
it's
too.
It's a dying art, you know. You
can't, for a reason, for good reason.
Because it breaks.
Because it's really hard to
but
deal with.
But you have to, like, mix it up and then put it on a layer and then wait and sand it and then put on another layer. But, yeah, I'd go to Kauai, man. Because they don't care about that stuff. It's like nobody wears shoes, you know. And you can have the arid, dry climate if you want. Or you can go to the top of the island and just be in, like, this jungle with these 1,000-foot cliffs. And so it's basically like, if I only have a week, I want to see, like, the Grand Canyon, the desert, and the jungle all at once.
Right. It's a good answer.
Thank you.
What's something you learned from your father?
You know, he gave me the skill of people. That's been that was always a thing with him. It was a natural. My uncle told me that an Ashworth has never met a stranger. And I truly believe it. I mean, it's like, so I learned from my pops early on, just go ahead and lay it out there, like become close, you know. And I've sort of mutated it and applied it to more personal relationships. But I think I learned from him, like, the value of having a conversation randomly and just, you know, interacting with people. Not hiding away. And, you know, that's how your well gets filled up.
Right.
Talking to people.
Right.
Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
And not in a way that's, you don't want to push people away when you meet them or get close to them or talk with them, you know. Bring them in. Let them in this whole mess right here. Let them in. I think that's something I pulled from Pops.
Well, that's definitely something you embody. Because that's been my experience with you.
Well,
for sure.
It's a two-way street, too, buddy. You could have been like, uh-uh. I'm not going to be buds with this dude.
What color is your front door?
Oh, it's like a mix between a purple and a red. I'm going to call it deep red.
Nice.
Deep red.
Mine's a little bit like that, only it gets too much sun. It's sort of faded.
Yeah.
Just a couple more questions.
I'm in.
We'll see. They may go quick. I don't know. What did your grandfather do?
Which one?
Well, whichever one you want to tell me about.
They were both engineers, paternal and maternal. Is that? Yeah, that's how you say it. Paternal and maternal. So my mom's father, he was a, how do you say this? He worked for Southern Bell, and when the farm phone companies wouldn't sell out, he would drive up to them and make sure their technology worked with the Bell system.
Right.
So he was like, okay, so you win. We couldn't buy you. Now, does all your stuff work? And this is what we're doing, and you need to do this and this and this. And so cool. That's what he did. And my dad's dad was, I think he got a degree. They're both engineers. So his was like civil engineering, bridges, and then he went into construction.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad was in construction, and then my pops and now my brother is Ashworth Construction. He's doing it. Yeah, but they've all been builders and makers of some sort, which I do have that bug, you know. I have a shop in my basement.
I was going to say, I've seen your basement.
Yeah, planes, and I like fixing things and making things work that didn't work or making those things do new things. I love, you know, when I was a kid, I took apart a stereo and never put it back together again, but I really enjoyed being inside of it. I could see all the different components, you know. Yeah. Ruined it.
The deconstruction is always the most interesting part.
It's so gratifying.
Mike, what do you hope for?
What do I hope for? You know, I struggle with this hope. I really hope that by the time my children have children and their children have children, that we still have a beautiful place, you know? And I struggle with it. I mean, last year was awful, man. And so all these things came down, but I kept seeing headlines about, like, we're slowly approaching this deadline of, like, 7 or 8 years for carbon emissions. And reversing that is going to be damn near impossible, man. And so, like, I guess... Yeah. I haven't thought about this question, but off the top of my head, I really hope we still have a place. I mean, we live in a beautiful part of the earth.
We do.
And we are blessed to be there. What's it going to look like in 100 years, you know? I hope everything's still the same. Like, maybe better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I hope they still have like a planet, man, a beautiful place.
That's a good thing to hope for.
Yeah.
God, it kind of made me sad.
No, don't be sad.
What? Well, this is probably the same thing. Same question. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of anything?
Yeah, I'm afraid of a lot of stuff. I think about the kids, and I'm afraid of doing this. I'm afraid of like
me too
opening myself up and being, you know, bearing my soul. But yeah, it's along those same lines. I'm afraid of not having a place to give them. It's similar, but you know, I guess when it all comes down to it, my biggest fear, besides like the normal ones, like I'm super afraid of heights. I can't get 12 feet. I'm out. Especially if you have to walk on something that's like really small, I'm out. But I guess we're moving out of what I'm afraid of. If I'm going to give the most honest answer, I think I've already lived my fear. Is like truly dealing with myself and all of my baggage and being, I guess, having my wings clipped, you know? Last year was really tough. We didn't tour, you know? Didn't get to work. And that translates differently for different families. But that's what I've always been afraid of, is not being able to do that and make it happen for my family or for myself or both. And it feels like there's a lot of hope right now. You know, I feel like we just turned a big corner. So what I'm afraid of, we just went through.
That's reassuring.
Yeah. That's why, it's okay to be, you know, sad and scared, but it's also okay to be happy.
And what makes you happy?
A lot of things, all right? But the simplest things make me the happiest. I swear. Just simple things, like starting a fire in my house. I'm at peace, you know. And we've been burning wood. It was really cold a few days ago.
It's been cold.
And, you know, all the kids piled up in their pajamas and everything, and everybody's crashed out in the living room and making a fire. Like, just be something so primal and so simple. I'm happy with that, man, you know. The simplest things make me happy.
Yeah, I find the same thing.
Yeah.
I find the same thing.
What does that mean? When the simplest things bring you pleasure? Like, I don't need this complex situation. I just need the smallest thing. I think, can we still find joy? Is that what it means?
Yeah, it sounds like a relief.
It is a relief.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds to me like sort of a product of sort of a reduction of your of desire, where you don't desire. Maybe with wisdom, you learn that, you know, you when you desire these big things, whether it's like a big house or a big car, it never ever lives up to the anticipation.
Even if you get it, it's going to be destroyed by your children.
Exactly. Desire creates suffering, and so the more basic your desires and the easier your needs are to meet, then the more you'll be in that state of satisfaction.
I like that. I have many needs, but I just need to make them all smaller. The hundreds of them, they
like
just
really
need to be smaller.
Easy to fulfill.
Yeah.
You know?
Like
easy to fulfill.
I can get behind that.
Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, buddy.
It's really good to talk to you.
It's my neighbor right here.
I love
you
this
too.
Guy.
I was in love with you all before I knew it meant more than just wanting to be with you. I used to look for other girls that looked a lot like, but the laws of nature said forget it, son. At least that's what somebody told me. I worried about it a little bit, but that's all. I dreamt that you were Joan of Arc, And I was Don Quixote. And everywhere we went, the world was tinfoil. But I gave up dreaming and became a priest. I put it right out of my system. I worried about it a little bit, but that's all. Ah, you used to play the guitar. We worked in a country band. I hung out down on the riverbank on Sunday. Your brother was my closest friend. He drove a pickup truck. He used to bring me home sometimes from high school. I was 15, oh, the very first time love broke completely inside me. We were young and we were learning about it together. I never regretted a love affair except one, and that's all over. I worried about it a little bit, but that's all. Now you used to play the guitar. We worked in a country band, hung out down on the riverbank on Sunday. Your brother was my closest friend. He drove a pickup truck. He used to bring me home sometimes from high school.
So big and loud, been drowning me out. I wanna sing that rock and roll. I wanna reach that glory land. I wanna shake my Savior's hand. And I wanna sing that rock and roll. I wanna electrify my soul. Everybody been making a shout so big and loud, been drowning me out. I wanna sing that rock and roll. I wanna traveling near and far. I'm gonna lay down my old guitar. And I wanna sing that rock and roll. I want to electrify my soul. Everybody been making a shout so big and loud, been drowning me out. I want to sing that rock and roll. I
I'm gonna lay down my old guitar and I wanna sing that rock and roll. I wanna electrify my soul. Everybody been making a shout so big and loud, been drowning me out. I wanna sing that rock and roll. I wanna sing that rock and roll. I wanna sing that rock and roll.
Thank you, that's Mr. Mike Ashworth on the guitar. Yeah. We're gonna take a short break for our sponsor, Thompson Guitar, and we'll be back with John Stickley in just a moment. It works.
That was absolutely perfect. That could not have been any better, I don't think.
So I get the gig, right?
By y'all.
What are you going to tell your drummer?
He's got a job. He's still got a job. No, it's so fun to play with both of y'all, man. I mean, this is a dream come true right now.
Same.
I'm also on the verge of tears. I mean, this is awesome.
That's rad, man. I'm so glad it worked out for us to play tonight. Making the best out of the situation. And thank you all for tuning in. Thank you.
these hills and valleys through the rain and sun. I've seen the lightning crash and heard the thunder roll. I've endured, how long must mortal
This has been the Travis Book Happy Hour podcast. Thanks for listening. Huge thanks to Mike Ashworth, John Stickley, Thompson Guitars, Americana Vibes, and The Bluegrass Situation. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and leave a positive review. It really helps us out. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Travis Book Happy Hour and online at thetravisbookhappyhour.com. And remember, it's okay to be happy.